And of course, you know the story of David. You remember from your, perhaps from your Sunday school days as a child, the story of David and Goliath. Sometimes we tell that story to our kids to inspire them to go do great things for the Lord. But in fact, I think that might be the wrong lesson, because David himself said the battle belongs to the Lord. That wasn't really his strength or his skill that was involved in killing Goliath, but it was the Lord who working through him. He said to Goliath, you remember the story when the Philistine, the giant Goliath, came out to meet the Israelites. David volunteered to go up against Goliath, and he said to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And all glory went to God. Eventually, David was given a military commission as an officer, and he became a general in the army and had great success as a military leader. Now, David was not without fault. He was far from perfect. We know from the stories right there in Scripture that David made some very bad decisions. We could say that today perhaps we'd look back on David's family and say that he had a dysfunctional family in many ways. Yet he was used of the Lord, and he was much revered by his people. If your family back then could trace its roots back to David, then you had an enhanced reputation among the people. And of course, part of the Christmas story, as we will hear tonight, is that the mother of Jesus, Mary, became pregnant by the miracle of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, who would become Mary's husband and Jesus' earthly father, was from the line of David. And Jesus, in fact, was often called the Son of David. So about 300 years after King David's reign, 300 years later, Isaiah the prophet came along, and we just heard those words from Isaiah's prophecy from Robert Murad. I thank him for reading that for us, those familiar words that we hear each Christmas season. Isaiah ministered from about 740 B.C. to about 697 B.C., so over 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah began speaking about the Messiah. He began speaking for God, including these words we just heard read that we are so familiar with. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, when we think of the word government today, we think of a bureaucracy or organizations that sort of dominate our lives in many ways. Certainly, we have local governments, but also the federal government is very much a part of our lives. Many of you work for the federal government. But in those days, of course, before the kingdom came along, before the kingdoms, we had a very simple form of government. Families were governed by their own tribal leaders or their own heads of households. But it seems that the Israelites always wanted a king. They wanted to be like the other nations, even though the Lord was, in fact, leader of their nation. Before the time of the kings, before King David and the other kings, we had the period of the judges. And judges like Deborah and Gideon were loosely overseeing the tribes of Israel. At one point, we know that Gideon was approached by the people of Israel who said, "We want you to rule over us. We want you to be our king, and then your son can take over, and then your grandson can take over," and so forth. But we see from Judges chapter 8, verse 22, that when the people came to Gideon and said, "Rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us from the hand of Midian, from their enemies." But Gideon told them, quote, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." Many years later, when Jesus was approaching Jerusalem on what we would call Palm Sunday, many people assumed that he and his people would be taking over the government in some way, have some civil authority. And Jesus said, no, I do not want to be that type of leader. In fact, they said, as Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." But Jesus did not want to be that type of king. His kingdom was not of this world. And in fact, he said at that point, "The Son of Man," referring to himself, "the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." He did not want to be served as a king, but wanted to serve and give his life as a ransom for money, which of course he did. So today, we live in a much different time. when we are so dominated by our government in so many ways, and we depend on our government in so many ways. And, you know, recently our government, federal government, passed a new tax law. And many political experts were saying the reason they passed that law and they did it so quickly because they had to do something. They had to do something. And they had to do something because we demanded of them sometimes. And we had voters and donors were sort of putting pressure on our government to, quote, do something. Well, we need to think carefully about that and don't think so much about what the government does for us. But we think back to these words from Isaiah, where he said the government will be on his shoulders, referring to Jesus, the Messiah. And of course, that word government does not mean the same thing we think of it today. Here it refers to a general oversight of life. The government, the governing of our lives, in fact, is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his subjects. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, the next song we're going to sing after this brief devotional, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, was written by Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote over 6,500 hymns or poems. That means if you were to write a song or a hymn or a poem every day of the week, or let's say 6 days a week, taking one day off, if you were to write a song or a poem or hymn 6 days a week going forward, it would take you about 21 years to write the number of songs that Charles Wesley wrote for us. Many of these have survived the test of time. We still sing these today, including the one we'll sing in a few minutes, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Charles Wesley was born in Epworth, England in 1707, educated at Westminster School and Oxford University. In 1729, at only 22 years old, Wesley and a few of his friends decided they were really going to get serious about their faith, and they formed a club, and they called it the Holy Club. And they were young men who were very serious about their Christian character and their conduct and their attention to duty, so they formed this club, the Holy Club. And eventually, Charles and his brother John Wesley would get into certain habits and methods of what they consider to be the Christian life. And in fact, they are credited with forming the denomination we would call today the Methodists. That's how they got their name. Charles Wesley, the younger of the two brothers, was ordained a priest in the Church of England in 1735. And on October 14th of that same year, 1735, he and his brother John set sail from Britain on the Simmons. And they landed in Savannah, Georgia, which then, of course, was a British colony. So they went to Savannah, Georgia, and served there at the request of the governor, James Oglethorpe. Charles was appointed Secretary of Indian Affairs. That means he was there to minister to the Native Americans. And John remained in Savannah, but Charles went to serve as the chaplain at a military garrison there in Georgia, offshore Georgia, actually. It did not go well. The Native Americans didn't really take to him. The locals didn't really like him very much. And within a few months, he left. He went back to England. But then something very exciting happened to Charles Wesley. According to his own testimony, and we have his writings, his journals, he discovered that he, although he was ordained a priest and was serving as what we would call a missionary there in Georgia, colony of Georgia, he discovered that he, in fact, was not yet converted. He was not a believer in Jesus Christ, and he came to understand what it means to truly trust in Christ alone for his salvation. According to him, it was May 21st, 1738, 3 years after he had been ordained a priest and was serving very admirably. But I have a suspicion that he was doing things of his own strength. He came out of his background believing that you could achieve perfection, and in fact was very adamant about that as he, with his friends, formed this holy club. But, you know, he was just going through the motions in many ways. So I'm wondering if you tonight might feel like you're just kind of going through the motions. It's Christmas. Yeah, we celebrate Jesus' birth, go to a candlelight service. Maybe you came to church this morning. Well, I hope that's not the case for you. I hope that you really are truly trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. And It is such a privilege, isn't it, to serve the Lord Jesus. I mentioned earlier that Jerusalem was known as the city of David, Bethlehem, the town of David, and sometimes Jesus was referred to as Son of David because he was in that lineage, at least on his earthly father's side. Joseph's side of the family was from the line of David. He was known sometimes as the Son of David. We usually today call him Christ, which of course is the Greek word for Messiah. As we saw this morning in God's Word, Jesus came to be our Savior, Messiah, and Lord. I want to close with these words from James Montgomery Boyce, who years ago wrote many of the names that Jesus is known by, not only Son of David, but James Montgomery Boyce wrote many years ago, "What a wonderful list of names we have for Jesus. The Bible," he said, "is full of them. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Ancient of Days. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah. He is our Prophet, Priest, and King. He is our Savior, the only wise God. He is our wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord, the Almighty. He is the Door of the Sheep, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. He is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He is the Logos, the light of the world, the light of life, the tree of life, the word of life, the bread that came down from heaven, the spring, which, if a person drink of it, he will never thirst again. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is our rock, our bridegroom, our beloved, and our redeemer. He is the head over all things, which is his body, the church. But above all, he is God with us, Emmanuel. And he came from heaven to earth to save us from our sins." Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for leading us to this place. Thank you for these 4 weeks we've enjoyed, these four Sundays of Advent, as we have celebrated the arrival of your Son, Jesus. Father, we have come to understand in a more powerful way the hope, peace, joy, and love that is ours through a relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of knowing him and serving him. Thank you for the Christmas holiday and for the reminder that we truly are celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus, a miracle that it was some 2,000 years ago. And we pray in his name, amen. Merry Christmas, everyone.